Move into item number seven, hatchery reform implementation. This is also a briefing.
Chair Smith, members of the committee, my name is Kelly Cunningham. I'm the Deputy Assistant Director for the Fish Program, responsible for program operations. Here with me today, we have Brian Misseldine, who's our hatchery evaluation and assessment team unit lead, and Ms. Christina Iverson, who is our hatchery scientific review group technical expert within that, the HEAT unit. And we're here today to provide you an update on our hatchery reform efforts and promise to stay on schedule so you all can get back on schedule. So it's been about 2 years since we were before you all. To provide an update. So the focus of our conversation today is to let you know what we've done in the last 2 years with regard to the three main hatchery reform components of Commission Policy 3619, Hatchery and Fishery Reform. So with that, let's take a peek at the outline. We'll talk about those key provisions. I'll actually lay those out for you, and then we'll turn it over to Christina, who will discuss, kind of give us a bit of a refresher course, if you will, on that the HSRG concepts and goals. She'll also discuss our current status in meeting those goals. We'll turn it over to Brian, who will give us an idea of what the next steps will be, and then I'll take the mic again and provide a brief summary and let you know how we match up with the provisions in the policy. So, before we get to the key policy provisions, I think it's important to remember why we have this policy. So a quick review of the policy statement makes it real clear in no uncertain terms. And the purpose statement reads, to advance the conservation and recovery of wild salmon and steelhead by promoting and guiding the implementation of hatchery reform. So pretty clear why we're subject to this policy and why it's very important for us to meet the provisions of the policy as an agency. So with that, the three main provisions that are important with respect to hatchery reform, one, working toward a goal of achieving 100% compliance with HSRG broodstock management. Secondly, to secure necessary funding to ensure that our facilities are compliant, that we have facilities that meet those rigorous standards. And then thirdly, to establish a network of wild salmonid management zones. And you heard a little bit about that earlier today, but we'll talk about efforts within the last 2 years. So with that, I'll turn it over to Christina.
Good afternoon. I'm going to just go briefly over some of the concepts you may have seen developed by the HSRG that we use to evaluate and assess our programs. And then I'll take you through to where we are today and where we are in meeting broodstock compliance. Next slide. So there are two types of hatchery programs that we operate. Segregated is our first program. Those are primarily harvest programs, and the goal of this is to minimize any gene flow from the natural population and hatchery population and vice versa. The goal is to keep two separate populations. And for our integrated programs, the goal is to maintain a higher gene flow from the natural population into the hatchery and composite population. This ensures that we have minimal genetic drift between those two populations and also speeds up the rate at which the population adapts to the natural environment. And so to measure those directions of gene flow and amounts, we have an equation that we use to provide for integrated programs what we refer to as the proportionate natural influence, and that's a measure of our natural broodstock, referred to as PNOB, and that gives us a measure of the direction of gene flow from the natural population into the composite. We also need a PHAWS, which is a measure of hatchery origin fish on the spawning grounds, and we currently are looking at three types of PHAWS. So traditionally, we've used census PHAWS. This was a rough estimate based on the presence of hatchery fish on the spawning grounds, and this is the most readily available to most fishery managers and biologists, boots on the ground. It's an easy estimate, and so traditionally we relied upon this. People have done work looking at relative reproductive success rates of hatchery fish and how it differs from natural fish. So they've moved into HSRG and other folks with the use of modeling, using that relative reproductive success to discount the success of hatchery fish, because they have pointed to scientific literature that's suggesting that hatchery fish are less fit than natural fish, typically on the spawning grounds. So we can use modeling to look at an effective PHAS where we have a relative reproductive success established. And a newer tool that we're using is PEC that was developed in-house by our science staff. And this is an actual estimate of gene flow where we are measuring that with genetic techniques. And so the goals associated with the two program types are related to how a population can contribute to the recovery of an ESU or DPS if the population is listed. So a primary population, which is highly significant for recovery, we want to minimize as much as possible any sort of gene flow, and that has the highest standards, 5% or less. This is a PHAS measure, which, again, is not gene flow, but there is scientific literature to suggest that a PHAS that was measured through census is higher and a little more conservative than the gene flow measurement would be. Next slide. Following along that logic, the integrated programs, our goals are set by a PNI with sub-goals of PNOB and PHAS values. So again, ensuring that the natural population is driving the fitness of the composite population and minimizing the hatchery spawners on the spawning grounds. The minimum that we shoot for in any integrated program is 10%, and that's based on FORD so that we can ensure that there's minimal divergence from the natural population. And our current status, in 2015 here, you can see we are at 88% in the green and meeting HSRG standards. And the remaining red programs on this chart here represent segregated harvest programs that we are currently working to align to policy. Some mitigation, very large mitigation programs, especially in the Columbia, that are determined by UV Oregon. And also some new NetPen programs in Region 5 to provide harvest opportunity that we implemented just recently and don't have returns for to estimate effects of strays, but we are working currently to do that with science. And then I'll turn it over to Brian to take us to where we've been accomplishing.
Thank you, Christina. Some of our accomplishments I'd like to show you today, as far as how we've accomplished hatchery reform. We've had reduction in programs. For example, our early winter steelhead programs have went from 1.8 million to down to 900,000 over since 2005, which is about a 50% reduction in releases. We've eliminated some hatchery programs based on high PHAS numbers, such as the Cowlitz early winter steelhead program. We've also integrated some hatchery programs, such as our Tootle Coho and our Tootle False Chinook program down in Southwest Washington. We've also secured capital funds to address facility limitations. We've held policy compliance strategies to meeting with regional staff. And what those compliance strategies are basically are the HSRG goals that we're trying to meet according to policy C-3619. We've established and are establishing wild salmonid management zones in the lower Columbia River and are working on identifying those in Puget Sound. And we're also working on finalizing and submitting 102 hatchery genetic management plans statewide. Oops. I can't see that. Can you just forward that for me? Thank you. Our current permit status, I'm sure that you're very interested in this, as are we. We have 13 HGMPs that are currently approved by NOAA Fisheries. We have approximately 25 HGMPs that have letters of sufficiency from NOAA. A letter of sufficiency is not a request for consultation. It's basically letting WDFW know that our HGMPs have enough information in them for NOAA to start their consultation process. We currently have 88 under NOAA review, 24 out of those 88 are being revised based on comments from NOAA fisheries, and those are primarily all in Region 5 in the lower Columbia River. We have still 10 that are still on hold, working with co-manager review on some of those and negotiations with co-managers. And we have 5 that are currently on hold for other reasons. Also, we are consulting with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service on bull trout and several other facilities that may impact bull trout. And as you know, those are listed under the Federal Endangered Species Act. 18. Some of our future actions. We're going to be developing biological-based measurable triggers, as Christina mentioned earlier, with our regional staff so that we can get those remaining conservation programs up to HSRG standards. We're continuing to prioritize our budget requests to address facility limitations in order to meet benchmarks described in the 21st Century Salmon and Steelhead Framework. And I pulled that out today and looked, and we are definitely on track with that. One of the goals we are working on now is with the Habitat group, looking at our intakes and our screenings to make sure that those are in compliance, and we'll be going out in the field probably within the next week or two to start collecting that data. Next. Oh, thanks. We're also going to be doing more monitoring and evaluation. We'll be working with our science group, developing sound monitoring and evaluation of protocols. We already have one for our early winter steelhead programs developed by science and the heat unit. We'll be collecting additional samples to refine our gene flow and integration data. Be establishing wild salmonid management zones in Puget Sound by completing public meetings that have been scheduled currently and we are underway in selecting those wild steelhead management zones. We hope to have that complete by the end of 2016, and also completing and submitting the remaining HGMPs that are outstanding.
So, back to those three provisions, and how are we doing? What have we accomplished in the last 2 years? So, working toward a goal of achieving 100% HSRG broodstock management standards, currently you heard we're at 88%. So 88% of our programs are currently meeting or projected to meet those broodstock management standards. Now, when I say projected to meet, we held a pretty hard line with that projection. So based on any changes that we've made, we're not looking any further out than 2017. It'd be pretty easy to say, okay, we project this to meet standards in 20 or 30 years. We held that line pretty hard, and the timeline's pretty short. So based on things we have put in place, various things we've put in place, we're projecting by 2017 to have 88% of those programs meeting standards. Secure necessary funding to ensure department-operated hatchery facilities are regulatorily compliant. Happy to report that out of about a little over $100 million in capital funding that we received from the legislature this past session, almost $40 million of that, $37 million, is dedicated to getting at this issue of addressing those needs at our hatcheries. And then finally, establishing a network of wild salmonid management zones. You heard Jim Scott and Brian talk about the lower Columbia River and our process in Puget Sound. We've actually completed the public process in Puget Sound. Next steps will be to review the public comments and bring forward to the director a list of recommendations. And I think it might be worthwhile to get some feedback from you all with regard to whether or not it makes sense to go back out to the public with that finalized list. So we'll be looking for some direction from you all with respect to that. And with that, I think we accomplished our task of getting you back on track. Can we answer any questions for you?
Thank you, Kelly. Yes.
Does the HSRG review our progress on hatchery reform?
Absolutely.
So they'll look at each individual hatchery and either say you're right on track or you're not?
Yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, but we've shared our HGMPs, all of our HGMPs that have been submitted and that will be submitted with the HSRG for their comment, feedback, and are making changes to those documents prior to submittal to NOAA. Feel free to add something.
You got it.
Yeah, good.
And the turnaround, when they get one of those, as
HSRG or NOAA?
No, when NOAA gets it, yeah.
It varies. The turnaround has been relatively, it hasn't been as fast as we would like to see it. You're all aware of the resource needs that NOAA Fisheries has, and I think you're also aware of the fact that we've dedicated DFW staff resources where we can to help with that effort.
Thank you. Any other questions? No. Kelly and team, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Moving right along, number 8, Coastal Pelagic Commercial Fisheries, a briefing. Michelle?
Yes. Comment while Michelle's getting up here. I thought this was an excellent morning, and I really enjoyed these presentations. I'm, of course, a big fan of Steelhead, but a lot of these same presentations, we could have done the same thing for salmon, and I think Commissioner Holtzmiller's point was excellent. We have made a lot of progress. I'm kind of a half-full guy. When I advise distribution of graphs and all of the Columbia River stuff, I saw populations increasing, and I think I'm feeling pretty good about the trajectory of some of these. We have a lot of work to do, and no one denies that, but I think we're doing pretty well. The fisheries guys cringe every time I get one of my supporting magazines because sometimes the departments, we are a convenient whipping boy for lots of people. And so that really bothers me because I understand the high quality scientists we have and the hard work that we do every day to make a difference. And I think we are making a big difference. And we're making some progress, and it's slow, and it's not as good in some areas as others, but I want to commend staff on this, their efforts.
Good news can be news.
Just to follow up on that, perhaps, Commission, we should take a little responsibility because I think our policy asks for a report on at-risk populations. Maybe we need to revise the policy and ask for some attaboys as well.
And girls. No, I point well taken, Director. I think all too often we tend to just focus on the negative, and there's progress being made across the board, you know. Not as fast as we always want or as massive, but I think, you know, good news can be news. Should be news. Okay.
I'll say what I said last night about hatchery reform in the Fish Committee meeting. There are a lot of people out there that thought this would never happen. They thought that we couldn't make the goal by 2015. We're darn close to it. They didn't think that hatchery reform would be something that we could carry out in a timely fashion that we could afford. The tribes were not on board early on this, and we did it. And in my estimation, this is a major step. This puts us in the lead in terms of hatchery reform and modern genetic management of our hatcheries, where nobody else can touch us. And for that reason, I mean, the kudos can't be enough here. I was hoping that we'd go all the way around the table on this one, but congratulations. I think this has been a major step forward.